Board of Health meeting to order. First on the agenda is open nominations for office. The first office is the chairman. Do I hear nominations?
I'd like to nominate Tommy Almore.
Second.
All those in any discussion?
I move the nominations be closed.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That was loud. Any opposed? Motion carried. Nomination for vice chair.
I nominate Dr. Day.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question to that nomination. Not that I'm not honored by it, but if I'm going to be the assistant health officer, should I also be the vice chair?
I don't think there's any limitation on that. I don't think there's a problem with that.
All right. Reasonable association, though.
Pardon?
It seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's fine.
Okay. I'm not in opposition to.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion?
I move the nominations be closed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion. Any opposed? Motion carry. Assistant health officer. Nominations.
I nominate Dr. Day.
Second.
Any discussion?
I move the nominations be closed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Now that's out of the way. Front office report, Judy. And we want to send our condolences to Judy. She is home ill. So we'll all be thinking about her and praying for her. Speedy recovery. Approving the minutes. Any discussion about them?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented.
I second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry. All righty. Front office report. Is it Taylor?
Yes. I don't have anything to add.
I have nothing to report. Okay. Everything's going well.
That is good. That's what we want to hear. So, any questions about the front office report as written? Do I hear a motion to pass on the health officer report?
I make a motion that we approve the report as presented.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries on that. All righty. Emergency preparedness. Corey, awesome.
He's here.
Hello, everybody. I guess you have all my report.
We do.
Any questions about it?
Looks like you've been busy.
As usual.
Any questions for Corey today?
No.
I did have a comment from Kathy Roundtree. She is wanted to send her kudos for your report and didn't realize, again, how much stuff that the emergency preparedness department does, and was wondering if there was a time, I don't know how we could arrange this, that she would like to be involved in a short presentation, I guess it is, on emergency services, emergency preparedness.
Sure, I can
as it relates to us.
Yeah. A good time is we're doing the Stop the Bleed training. I could certify you guys in bleeding control.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It's a good thing. We just got through with the schools today and getting them a trainer and instructor, so we could talk about all kinds of things.
Okay.
Anytime.
All right. I'll talk to her about it.
Okay.
Thanks. Anything for Corey then? Okay. Thanks. Awesome. Good job.
Thank you.
I gotta leave. I gotta go get my daughter a day here in
elementary. Okay.
Thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
There you go. Jennifer, nursing report.
I forgot it on my desk. Sorry. next time.
Any questions for Jennifer on her report here, on what she's been doing up to? Have you had any flu cases?
No.
No?
Really?
I mean, I'm hearing a lot of it around, that kind of thing, so.
I haven't been told of any. Usually we get notified with the nursing home first, and I haven't been told of that.
Yeah. I see it on Facebook. Some
they
cases
of
pneumonia and flu and such.
Some, they weren't sure with one of the schools if it was actually influenza or
Pneumo. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, that's good, I guess, if we don't have anything reported to our department. Technology is great when it works.
Did everybody hear about the new baby?
No.
Kelly had her baby in the parking lot of a church. It was in the papers, the Daily Journal. And
oh, my goodness.
And then on Facebook. And
I must have missed that. How's she doing
and
the baby?
Doing well. Henry.
Another boy. Fashion name. Good for her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. All right. If there's no questions, thank you. Okay. Environmental health. Jennifer?
Put this way up here. you've got my report. It's a little less wordy than before. I decided to take out anything that might have been opinion or speculation kind of thing. Just give you the straight scoop. Couple things on the intern. We do have a new intern from IU. She's going to start Thursday. Her name's Mary Wilson. She's going to be working about 15 hours a week. She is going for epidemiology and eventually her PhD in, I can't remember what, but one of those fields.
Mm-hmm.
And then the January ServSafe class mentioned in here, I did get the results today. All 10 of the people did pass that.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And I had one question for you. I have a Dollar General out there in Bean Blossom. I have done 7 inspections in which they have been missing thermometers in their coolers. I've talked to the safety officer for the company. I've talked to the manager. I've talked to everybody. They can't seem to get this rectified. I've suggested to them that they get the digital readouts where you put it outside and you run a lead into it so it don't get knocked off all the time. They don't want to spend the extra $30 a thermometer to do that. And so I want to know if I should start civil penalties on them or not, in the board's opinion.
So how long has this been going on?
Let's see, the first one was... Hang with me a second.
Where they keep the frozen milk products, dairy products.
Okay, the first inspection was January 10th in 2017. They were okay. On March the 2nd, 2017, they had 2 coolers missing thermometers. On May the 25th, 2017, 3 out of 5 of the coolers were missing thermometers. On the July 12th, 3 thermometers were missing. This is still 2017. September 13th, 2017, thermometers again missing in several freezers. 2018, July the 2nd, thermometer missing in the fresh foods cooler. Then I wrote a letter to the safety officer. This was in April of 2019. He actually wrote to me and said, I am the environmental compliance team at Dollar General. Would you send me copies of the inspections? I've never seen the inspections, so I sent him all the inspections. He said he would deal with it. Then on April 22nd, 2019, 2 of the coolers didn't have thermometers. On July the 11th of 2019, there were no thermometers. And then on the 4th, December this past year, there were no thermometers in the fresh food cooler again. So it's an ongoing issue.
Okay, did he reply to you after you sent him the materials?
No, I sent him another email, and he never answered me back. So I don't even know if he's still the person that would be doing this at Dollar General. And I can't seem to get anybody to take it seriously, so.
Did they give you any excuse as to why they can't?
They say they get knocked off, people knock them off, or vendors come in and fill the product in the cooler and they knock it off, and it's...
Does that occur in any other establishments?
Well, if it does, they usually... They stay on it.
It's continually being knocked off?
Right. That's why I suggested that outside read with the digital lead that goes in, because then you can't knock it off. It's completely outside of the cooler. And the lead just goes in and it's taped to the wall, so it does an internal temperature. And I can also get ones with an alarm that will tell you if at any time it's gone out of temperature during the night or something, which is useful. So.
And those are only like $30.
Yeah, they're like $30
each.
Yeah.
Well, is there any recourse as far as who is his supervisor above him?
Well, the manager of the current Dollar General said it was too expensive. He didn't want to do it. That's according to the manager that's on the floor, not the overall manager.
I would venture to say that maybe you could take it up.
You want me
backed
to
up with documentation to the whoever the district manager, CC the president, or whoever, you know, just take it up the chain before before we take civil proceedings.
Just want to get your opinion.
I mean, that's my recommendation.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If you don't go anywhere, then I think we need to address it.
Okay.
That's what I do.
But that's a serious issue.
It is a serious issue.
That could lead to enteric infections throughout the county.
Right.
So it's not something that they should take lightly
and
brush off.
Right.
Yeah, if you've ever had food poisoning, you don't want to do it again.
Right. Yeah.
And we get a lot of power failures, especially when the winds and everything
keep
up in that area.
They've got milk products and that kind of thing and frozen foods.
Right.
To provide some force behind your communication to an upper level, I think it would be helpful to indicate that civil penalties would be applied if not complied with and give them a deadline. Like 30 days.
Okay.
2 weeks, actually. I concur with Dr. Day that time is of the essence here, that we shouldn't be fooling around at all. So I would say a short time frame.
Okay.
14 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll
that's
do. Going on
that's reasonable.
3 years now
that you've had
that's
it.
Long enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Since their reluctance to comply, it seems to me that if and when they do comply, they ought to be encouraged to install the type that have the security alarm associated, because they obviously don't pay a lot of attention to this.
Right.
They realize it's value. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Okay. All right. I will write something up, and I'll send you guys a copy of it.
Okay.
Send it out.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes,
Jennifer, just on the site evaluations that you did with Mark Miller from the State Health Department, I just had a question on that. If there were any recommendations or anything that came out of that meeting that you learned?
We actually didn't do a site evaluation with Mark Miller. We just met with him. He's our new rep for the area for the wastewater
from
the State Health Department.
Yeah,
so that's actually two separate sentences there.
Was there anything that came out of that meeting with him?
Not really, guys. Do you think there's anything different that came out of our meeting with Mark Miller? Not really. Yeah, just hi, here I am.
He just came to introduce himself.
Mm-hmm. He's from Greene County. He was over in Greene County.
Oh, okay.
He's taken over for... Yeah, we've had a lot of reps go through.
True.
Any more questions for Jennifer?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right. John or Ernie or both?
Okay. Everybody's got the spreadsheet, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on it? There was one notation on it. So our complaints are down. We are under 150 as of the last day of the year, which is considerably lower than 258
mm-hmm.
from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, any other questions on the report or?
I noticed your follow-ups from 18 through 19 went up quite high. In fact, it was like 38%.
Yeah.
So you guys have been busy. And then the site evaluations just It just doubled, tripled.
Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of side valves, but unfortunately, the septic installation, the season was extremely short.
Yeah.
So we're setting on quite a few homes that, or proposed homes that have not started building, or they've started building, but with the weather conditions, the septic could not go in as
of. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then there was a huge, there was 54% drop in the junk and trash. That was amazing.
Yeah, it.
Did you put that in another category or something? Or
no, we don't have it in another category, but we've got plenty of it to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been a lot of new, but you
still
know,
dealing
over,
with the old.
Over half of our 147 complaints, over half is trashed properties.
Yeah.
Probably 75%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, John, that probably 75% were dealing with trashed up properties?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What ordinances do we have to enforce the removal of trash and junk?
Well, we're working on new ordinances, but on our existing ordinances, it's basically three letters, and then you try and get it into a court system. What we try and do is talk to the people, try and work with them to try and get to get the property cleaned or cleansed. And as you can see, we've had some luck, but we're still in a pretty bad state as far as trash properties. One of the items that we're dealing with that we get a lot of complaints on that I have, the department has no control over at this point in time, is junk vehicles.
Oh.
It's not leaking oil, it's not leaking antifreeze, it's not leaking gasoline. I have nothing in my local ordinance or in planning and zoning's ordinance to do anything with it. Now, the state of Indiana does have a salvage ordinance, but you've got two guys that cover the entire state of Indiana. Now, we are looking at their ordinances to see if at one point in time if we can adopt something. But right now, we're doing nothing more than working with it, seeing what we can do.
Any more questions for Ernie?
Well, I kind of want to explore this a little bit. I don't see the amount of trash in other counties such as Bartholomew and Monroe as I see in Brown. What difference does this county have compared to those two, for example?
I'm trying to politely say something. Let's just say their court system is a lot more effective than ours. When they take them to court, they can get them into court within 60 days. The court will order them to clean up. If they don't clean up, they'll put them in jail for a week or two, and then.
Okay, so does this have anything to do with our prosecutor not having the desire to provide legal services to the health department?
I'm going to have my supervisor. He can answer that better than I can.
John, you want to answer that?
Might as well do it on record.
Exactly.
Our prosecutor, as well as the previous prosecutor, informed us that it was his opinion, along with 92 other prosecutors throughout the state, that their job was not to prosecute for the health department. Their job was to work with major criminal activity, and that the reason they felt that way is if they prosecuted a civil case and lost, they would be personally liable. I, being a person that likes to check facts before I open my mouth, contacted our insurance company to be sure that that was a defining factor. Our insurance company informed me that our prosecutor is covered by our insurance no matter what level of case he prosecutes. So my assumption is he is elected not to prosecute our cases for whatever reason he is so determined. That's why we ended up going to an outside lawyer to spend money that I think should have been spent by the salary and the budget that our present prosecutor has. We are learning through our present attorney, Mr. John Reams, that we in the past have not been 100% correct in the way we write letters. We have found out that definitions are a problem. My understanding is, for instance, with the term salvage yard, there is not a legal defining definition of salvage yard, which makes it difficult to get people to clean their yard art up if you don't have a workable definition. We also have not been before the present judge at this time, so we have no idea how good a job we do in writing our letters or doing an investigation. We are hampered at the present time because although state code allows us to enter upon property at a proper time to investigate complaints, the present thought pattern is that's not legal. Although it's in the state code.
What, it's not legal?
For us to enter on property to investigate complaints. So we're trying to work through that. We're trying to get a determination on at what point can I go onto a property and confirm that there is or is not a problem. Obviously, anytime we access or operate outside of us three, that means we need to have legal intervention as guidance so that further increases our legal costs. So at the present time, we are hampered in trying to get anything done. If we get anything done today, it's because a citizen has decided on their own that we have made them aware of an issue, they clean it up on their own. But as you so eloquently stated, there's probably not a road in Brown County that you cannot go down and find junk cars, dilapidated houses, incredible trash and debris throughout the yard. I don't think you can name one road that that's not on.
You made reference to 92 other counties when you first started speaking, but I missed the connection with our prosecutor. You're saying that his election not to prosecute is in line with the other 92?
He informed us that they had a meeting of all the county prosecutors. And although it had not been tested in court, that was the feeling that the 92 prosecutors in all 92 counties have determined their method of operation or their procedure or lack thereof. So my understanding based on that is none of them. Now, we've talked to our counterparts in other counties, and most of them are of the same interpretation from their county prosecutor that they will receive no help from the county prosecutor, and their only solution is to hire a lawyer. Well, we're fortunate in that from a financial standpoint, we got some legal budget. Other counties are not so fortunate. Many counties have no county attorney for the health department. So from that standpoint, we count ourselves fortunate. And we have worked Mr. Reams over severely. He reviews every letter that we send out. We are trying to develop form letters, but form letters only work if you have a specific violation or specific address or individual, And as you can probably imagine, a lot of times there are multiple violations. The condition overall, the condition of the house, one of the things that we're being questioned on when we talk about the condition of a home is, well, what building experience do I have to be able to make that determination? Well, I have my own, but I don't have a license or certification, but I'm pretty good at determining if a window's broken or the house has got a leaky roof or the foundation is crumbling, but I think Cynthia Rose, as an attorney, can tell you that if you want to get a couple of multiple definitions of anything, get a group of lawyers together. And I have found out I have never had the same definition I don't have the same definition with John Reams, and we pay him, and I can't get him to agree with me on things.
Have you discussed with your counterparts in surrounding counties, such as Bartholomew and Monroe, how they go about expediting the prosecution or getting people forced to clean up their property? And where I'm going is I think I've been on the board a year, and it seems that we don't have any teeth in anything that is written in an ordinance, that yes, it's there, but nothing changes. That's just my perspective from 1 year as compared to a long history. But I would like to see some actions taken with people. For example, they don't put thermometers in their refrigerators and they're selling food that's perishable. When our county, and I can't even think of another county that looks as bad as ours. It was taking a friend for a drive through the county and was actually embarrassed driving down some of the roads. So I would like to see some follow-up at our next meeting as to how y'all can pursue this more aggressively.
I can tell you the key difference between Brown County and Bartholomew County and Monroe County is financial.
Okay, and I was wondering if that was the case, and we don't have a landfill.
We do not have a landfill.
Right.
That is correct. And I will tell you that if you look at the statistics that are being quoted about Brown County, one of them being over 50% of our population makes less than $30,000 a year, at $2 a trash bag,
right,
for a person making...
Totally understand that. So that my follow-up, totally appreciate that, and that was my suspicion. So what then can, I suppose it's solid waste management, do or the county do to assist these people? I totally understand if you're going to buy bread and milk, if you're going to clean up your yard, you're going to buy bread and milk. There was a, I don't know, maybe it was I call it a free trash day where hundreds of tires were, okay, you know what I'm speaking of. Can we assist these people with either county expense or donations or whatever so that we can get things cleaned up?
I will tell you that Solid Waste has a budget, and I hope when Sarah prints this, it doesn't result in hundreds of phone calls to Solid Waste, but it's okay if it does. Solid Waste has helped us in numerous instances by providing a dumpster at no charge to people that really have a sincere interest in cleaning their property. But we run into two problems. One is most of the people that we try to help, or lots of them, I don't know what percentage, are probably my age and older. They're not able to get out in the yard and start cleaning it up. We have a number of our septic installers that have volunteered to take their equipment over to a person's house and take a skid loader and help clean the property up. But that's on a limited basis. So we can get dumpsters, although I will tell you that Phil cringes when we ask, but it comes out of his budget. but he has never told us no. The other problem is if we could get a group of people that would volunteer to help clean it up, because we don't have anything in our budget that allows us to pay for dumpsters or pay for volunteers or whatever. We can't even buy them lunch. You know, sometimes if you buy people lunch, provide food and pizza, you might get 20 or 25 people or whatever to show up and help clean up. We don't have a budget for that. Solid Waste does not even have a budget that allows for enforcement. They have no legal, by the state of Indiana, have no legal right to have an enforcement arm. Their enforcement arm is either the Sheriff's Department,
okay,
fire department, or the health department.
So to move this along, John, appreciate your in-depth review of this. Will you look into the probability or the capability of Brown County has wonderful folks that love to volunteer and help out. And I think we could get, let's just call it a trash cleanup movement, moving along. And there's likely people out there that would even donate funds for dumpsters just to see the county cleaned up. Would you look into that and
Absolutely.
Report back next week, next month,
yeah.
or next meeting, rather,
yeah.
2 months?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, John.
I think there'll be some further discussion on this whole issue in the future, and maybe yet today. Okay. Any new business?
So do I bring that up? Mm-hmm. Since we're working on the proposed septic ordinance, and just recently, now that the House and Senate and legislation is in session, been looking through, and there is a House Bill 1154, which has been introduced by Aylesworth, who represents District 11. And his bill is in support of having septic inspections before a property transfer. And this would be for all property transfers. And of course, the Indiana Association of Realtors is against this. They feel that it would be a burden in regards to delaying closings, or a burden in cost on either end. As a realtor, I don't know what the burden is. The burden would be more severe if you did nothing and the buyer was totally unaware of what they were buying. And if nothing else, and maybe there's some this is, I think, his second or third try at this. It's just in committee stage with the environmental affairs. And in fact, it goes to its first reading tomorrow. So if anyone would like to email him between now and before 1:30 tomorrow with your views and support, I think he'd probably like to hear from everyone. And this is not just for septic systems. This bill also addresses water wells being tested. Majority of buyers, in fact, all buyers, for the most part, have home inspections done. And they have the opportunity to tag on to that a septic inspection and or a well inspection. Whether it's $100 or $200, that is a whole lot cheaper to know what you're buying than to find out later that you're going to spend $10,000 to $20,000. And everything is negotiable. Inspections are negotiable. But I think it's that knowing that this is a representative who is looking at this as a bill in the state alludes to us who have worked on this septic ordinance for how many years now, that it's not a Brown County problem. This is a state problem. If anyone who has septic systems, it will vary from different counties because of the type of soil. And that's where it comes down to. But just to know that this is still out there and he's still pursuing it, I think we need to give him our support. Any recommendations or compromises that could be made. But I think that the attitude that there are others out there on a higher level that feel it is serious when you cannot hook onto county water and or sewer. So I just wanted to bring that to the attention. And again, it's House Bill 1154, if you want to look it up.
Do you have his email with you?
I don't. If you go to the IN.gov site,
I've got a copy on my cell phone that I can show you later. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I can send it to you.
Good.
I'm wondering, Linda, mm-hmm. if this board as a whole would like to send something to the House in support of House Bill 1154. It might lend a little bit more mm-hmm. weight, you know, than us individually.
Sure. I mean,
I agree with that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Linda, I appreciate you bringing this up, but I also wonder if you read page 2 and if it is worth our time to consider on page 2 the exemptions, where it states that the bill provides exceptions from the inspection and testing requirements, one, for certain types of property transfers, so it would not be on all property transfers, and two, where it is not possible to have an inspection by a qualified inspector mm-hmm. or testing by a qualified tester before the closing. In other words, if there is a transfer, that's on page 2, and it's listed under exemptions. I mean, this is a start, but this is not, you know, when we started with that wording, mm-hmm. we wanted it on all transfers. Then we carved out some exceptions to the transfers, and then pretty soon we kind of just referred to the state on it. But, you know, it's a step. Also, that reading tomorrow, that's in committee. That's not on the floor, right?
No, that's in committee.
Okay, so they got a long list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was just introduced. I think it was the 31st of December, and then it was assigned to committee on the 8th of January.
Gotcha.
So the first, it's tomorrow at 1:30. So
interesting. Yeah, there might be.
So on that again, do we want to compose a letter via the health board to address to the committee members? Is that what I'm hearing?
The committee members or the board members?
The board.
Yeah,
right.
This board.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I'm assuming for those who are
interested.
If we're all interested, I don't want it to be a board if there is opposition to that. If so, then I think we should do it individually.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? I mean, I can get with the
and
right
it
office.
Might be something to offer them some suggestions, too.
Would you feel more comfortable doing it your own letters or one including everyone?
Offer the legislative agency some suggestions, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if we're in support of this or if we have something else that we might offer to them, I don't know what it would be at the top mm-hmm. of my head, but I know that this was something we worked on. Itself.
So, Linda, you're a realtor. Would you be willing to compose the letter on behalf of the board?
Yep.
I'll take a look at it, send it to me.
I would be happy
to
do that.
Does that take a motion or no?
I was so moved that we, Linda writes a letter stating basically that the Brown County Health Board support House Bill 1154 and our reasons for doing so.
Okay.
Second.
Any more discussion on that? Okay. I'll get with you. Okay.
Nothing like volunteering you. Huh?
No problem.
I'm good at that. All righty. Any more new business? Okay. Yeah, what everybody's been waiting for, I'm sure. I'm hoping everybody had a time to digest the ordinance since last time that we met. Any discussion from the board on the ordinance?
We had two outstanding questions to be answered or investigated from our last meeting. One was the actual recording of the affidavit by our recorder, and the second one was, does that affidavit appear to the buyer, and what I mean by appear, are they aware of it, such as, and this wasn't brought up, such as, is it a part of the closing documents? Because I believe someone brought up that even if it was recorded, that document isn't even seen in a title search, and I believe there was going to be some contact with a title company to confirm that.
John, you want to answer that question?
Ernie and I and Dr. Ostreich made an appointment with Steve Mollow, Brown County Abstract. He's the only one that I knew that does title searches. And he was very informative and gave us two bits of information that I thought were significant. One is most titles, most closings, are done by banks outside of Indiana. Very few are done, particularly here in Brown County. So the significance of having that on a warranty deed was probably slim to none. The other thing he informed us of, in most instances, you never see the warranty deed or any of that information, even at closing, unless your attorney, your realtor, would do the due diligence to get that and present that at the time of closing. So we can now, our recorder will put that on any deed that comes through their office, because it's part of the Indiana State Code. But the significance of that will probably be insignificant, I guess is the easiest way to say it.
I find that difficult to understand.
Me too.
Even if it's an out-of-state bank that is writing the mortgage for the property, they're going to rely on and require a title search, which will more than likely be done by somebody local like Steve Mollow or somebody else who does the title search. When he does the title search, he is going to see the deed recorded, and he will see the affidavit that is recorded, and he will report that on his title report for the title insurance to be effective. So even if it's an out-of-state bank that's holding the mortgage, that's probably, I don't know, he does all those closings, he should know, but there's a lot of local banks that do home mortgages too.
I never thought about out-of-state closings. Honestly, I'm naive enough in that area. I thought they were all done at Brown County Abstract. Mm-hmm. You had something in Brown County that you were transferring property.
Right.
I thought that's where it was done.
Right.
But according to him, no.
No.
And I don't, I can't, the only thing, unless, is there anything I missed?
No, that pretty much covers it. He says most of the title companies around state that does the title searches. Yeah. He said he does very few of them.
Really?
And so much is online now, yeah. Or they send down someone to just they'll pay minimum wage for someone to drive down, and they'll give them a...
Well, if it's online, they should see it. Our public documents, recorded documents are online.
My thinking is, too, if it, you know, with a lot of areas having covenants...
Yeah.
And regulations,
easements that runs the property.
Every bit of that stuff comes to light when you do a title
search.
It's on there, you know, whether it's on the deed and says subject to, I know there's a standard clause, subject to easements and blah,
yep.
blah, blah, but it is, it's still, if it's recorded, it's out there.
Right.
And therefore, it's part of the closing documents because it's
yeah.
a part of the deed.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually.
I don't understand the.
Well, the reason
issue.
You wouldn't.
I know, John. It's some don't look for all of that.
Well,
yeah. You're absolutely right. But I treat it as no different than rules and regulations of a like Lake LaSalle or Lake Lemon or some housing addition where
right.
they have covenants and
HOAs.
Well, I can't talk to you about the timing. All I can do is the three of us went to Steve Mallow, and this is what he's told me. But I can tell you that
yeah.
numerous, over 50% of the listings that we get, they're incorrect in reference to the number of bedrooms versus size of the septics.
And it continues.
And it's the same yeah. thing. That, I don't know. I didn't even look at my, you know, when I went to our closing, my wife signed everything.
Well, I think this,
boss.
Yeah, this section 102 about the recording is our best judgment at this point
right.
to try to record something to help facilitate the residents and to facilitate finding these discrepancies, and that we can just start. This is a starting place.
Yeah.
And we got to start.
And the state, I mean, this has been since 2014 that this has been in effect.
Right.
So it's not, I'm surprised and I'm not surprised how long it's taken just to get this portion through when it's a state code and has
mm-hmm.
been for now 6 years, going on 6 years.
So.
I think the one, it was January of last year when we discussed this affidavit with the recorder. Her comment was that it had to be, you know, specifically designed. It had to have a seal. Who's going to pay the cost of it? It's no different than the sales disclosure or any other document of surveys or anything else where that becomes, if it's a sale, typically it's the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, if it's new construction, it would be the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Who would pay that documentation fee? It's not the health board to do that,
mm-mm.
especially now knowing, and we're putting this out front so that it's even easier to find, that it is a requirement. Because
mm-hmm.
it says shall record, and we
yep.
have not been doing it.
Yep.
So.
Well, and the other clarification is, this is only for new construction, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Permits.
That's in the state code, it's for new construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what to tell you more than that. We're as...
But new construction also, does that not partake into room additions? I mean, that's still new construction. If you add on...
A number of those, for some reason, never get recorded.
Well, that's not for today.
I mean, as far
yeah.
as
yeah.
there's no permits issue.
Right. Oh, there you go.
There
got
you.
Go. Gotcha.
I'll see.
But we've been in the past few years trying to be more
sure.
proactive with that.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, that's something that's been going on for years
mm-hmm.
too. But you got to move forward from now and go forward than it is and start.
Well, so. And the interesting thing is that during this time, of course, I have been very vocal of my disapproval of this.
Mm-hmm.
because of the problems that it's going to bring. So I've talked to some of my counterparts in other counties, and it hasn't impacted anybody yet because it hasn't been in law long enough, and a lot of them aren't even aware of it. So
yeah.
it's kind of a, I can't go to you and say Bartholomew County does this and they haven't had any problems,
mm-hmm.
or Monroe County. That.
Yeah.
It's like talking to them about hot tubs. They don't have the hot tub issue that we do. So.
Yeah, and that's in there too, you know, that we're supposed to address the hot tubs and jetted tubs, and that creates another bedroom because of the amount of water it takes. And, yeah, and it doesn't go anywhere.
We're going to leave you guys with that one.
Okay.
I do want to say thanks to a couple of our committee members that are here today. Randy is out there, and Clint. They were both very instrumental in constructing this document.
Would you
so, you guys want to stand up? There's Randy Jones. And who you are? I'm Randy. I'm Randy Jones.
I may be afraid to. I'm just recently moved to Brown County about 2.5 years ago, but I, for 10 years in Henry County, where I came from, was what John was doing. I was doing the environmental lead in the county health department there. And the last 30 years, I've been working with IDM. I just retired from IDM in October 2016 as a senior environmental scientist for the Federal Institute. So I've been around a lot of septic systems. I inspect a lot of them. I'm 10 years with the county health department. Somehow, what word gets out when you're
Thank you.
Thanks.
Gosh, that's great.
And we have Clint back there.
I know Clint's helped.
That's great. Oh, Clint's.
Clint Studemaker.
Clint
Studemaker, retired environmental engineer.
Short and sweet.
That's right.
Again, I do appreciate all the work. And you know, a lot of the groups are not here today, but you got a bio of everybody a few months ago on that. So. Yeah.
So. I have one other, in regards to, there's one other sentence that was added in section, Article 2, Section 203.
Mm-hmm.
Placement of all septic tanks shall be a minimum of 10 feet from the structure, which I think is already state code,
yep.
And the maximum of 25 feet. Any reason for why 25? I don't care. I know
Ernie,
there's got to be a reason.
That. I think
I realize the farther you get away from, it's harder to.
Basically, the further you get away, the more chance you have of the water settling from the solid.
Yes.
Maybe you happen to have a 22 degree or 45 degree, your dynamic head pressure of your water will come off when it drops at that point. You have
so basically, once you get to 25 feet, no matter what degrees you're dealing with, you're pretty much at the ultimate limit of where.
25 feet is the ultimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty far, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll be replacing it or repairing it in a few years.
As far as what gravity and water will do and head pressures, you might run into complications.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I knew about the 10, I just didn't know about the 25, but I'm good with it, yeah.
All right. Any more discussion? Anybody out there have some comments for us?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Michael Fulton. I'm from Lanham Ridge, and very pleased to be in front of the board again. I was the predecessor to Corey, and just side note, I think what he has done and what you've done in supporting him has been fantastic for this community.
Thank you.
Also want to give my support to the ordinance. In particular, I thought you handled Section 102 well. Sounds like it's maybe not the perfect solution, but I agree with Ms. Elmore that it's a good start. So I want to thank you for your time and effort in putting it together.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. Anybody else up here? Mr. Clark.
Yeah, I just got a question. I'm assuming you're going to...
Sure.
If this is this the final version?
Yes, sir. It
okay,
is.
Are you going to, is it going to go out another round to the public for comment, or are you going to push it on to the commission?
We're pushing it on.
All right,
If we pass it today, it will move on to the commissioners, and then they have their readings.
Yeah, they have to do their public hearings.
They have to do public hearings. I think they have to have two of them. And
readings.
You know, so this is just kind of the first send-off for us. Anything else out there?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we pass the septic ordinance for Brown County, Indiana, titled Septic Ordinance and identified as resolution. And that's, that one. I move that we pass it.
Okay. Do I hear a second on that?
I second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Again, I do want to thank, we had a lot of people involved in this. And, you know, like any committee of 12 people, we had our challenges. And
you really did a good job.
As Martin Luther King said, we may have come on different ships, but we're all rowing in the same boat. Here we are.
You know, I would like to just, all the members, including the board members who served on that subcommittee, mm-hmm. I would just like to give a word of thanks to, because I know it was a difficult task.
Long, it's taken 22 years to get this far?
Yeah.
22 years, not
real
bad.
Close.
Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Since 97. Working on this.
I move to adjourn the meeting.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Well done, Madam Chairman.